distinguishable to him now, existing only to house the opulent nightclubs and shops that he and his companions required, exclusive places that precious few people knew about, and even fewer would ever be admitted to. He could still be coaxed back to Saudi Arabia when family politics demanded, but more and more it was a place to be avoided, a place of bitter memories, betrayals, and reminders of a birthright stolen from him. His driver eased onto a side street barely wide enough to allow passage, and Bin Musayyid looked away from the concrete tenements lining it. The boredom and disdain he normally felt when surrounded with this kind of squalor had been drowned out by excitement and anticipation. No more waiting. No more words. This overwhelming sense of exhilaration could only be generated by one thing. Action. He slid a suitcase filled with American dollars onto his lap and felt the satisfying heft. It was the unfamiliar weight of purpose, he knew. The weight of power. He was the nephew of King Faisal, but had never been treated with the respect that position demanded. After his parents' untimely death, Bin Musayyid had been sent to Europe, where he was forced to absorb the insult of Western schooling. His teachers, many women, had not only refused to defer to his station, but had lorded their authority over him in a pathetic effort to obscure their own inferior birth. They'd given him poor marks and reported back to the king with stories of women, liquor, and violence. All of this would have been of little consequence, but Faisal sided with them, with the British infidels who mocked both the House of Saud and Allah himself. Bin Musayyid had finally been called back to Saudi Arabia after a meaningless incident with a female student. She had been a typical Western whore, and he had treated her accordingly, no better or worse than required. In any event, he had welcomed the opportunity to take his rightful place in the ruling class. It was not to be, though. Instead of a respected government post, he had been shuttled into an endless series of menial tasks and obscure low-level positions. The king spoke enthusiastically of his bright future when they were together, but never took steps to make that future a reality. Betrayed by his own family, Bin Musayyid had finally left the country of his birth and cut ties to the degree possible without jeopardizing the flow of family money. He knew now that none of it was of any importance. The Saudi Arabia that had rejected him was doomed. King Faisal was old and weak, a puppet of America who was losing control of the forces gaining power within his borders. He didn't understand the true destiny of his country. Instead of crumbling and besieged, the Saudi royalty should have been taking a place at the helm of the new caliphate. It was the House of Saud's privilege and responsibility to lead the forces of Islam as they exterminated their enemies throughout the world. His driver leaned forward to search the darkness for a rare street sign. "Left, you idiot," Bin Musayyid said. He'd been poring over the maps and satellite images on Google for days, anticipating this moment. They would drive straight for another kilometer, where the street would dead end. From there, he would continue on foot into the dark maze of souks that climbed even higher above the city. The journey would take approximately 7 minutes at a pace designed not to attract undue attention from anyone he might pass. Finally, he would arrive at his destination, a nondescript apartment building where an ISIS representative was waiting. The money in the suitcase would be used to finance a large-scale attack inside the United States, something ISIS saw as critical to advancing their already wildly successful propaganda campaign. The lone wolf attacks that they had inspired were unquestionably glorious, but lacked sufficient weight in a country where mass shootings were a daily event. It was critical that America's Muslims join the fight, but thus far, they had been reticent, lulled into complacency by their prosperity and integration into the patchwork of immigrants and mutts that made up their adopted country. Cracks were beginning to form, though.